caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
All the caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned on the show where you can find help and hope. And with us today, we have the fabulous Ed on the boards. How you doing, Ed?
Howdy, howdy on a Friday.
A little cooler. A little bit.
Really?
Yeah, really, not to Ed.
Where would that be?
I don't know. Definitely not in the car.
Stick your head in the refrigerator, in the freezer.
No.
That's actually refreshing once in a while.
Yeah, once in a while.
Stick your head in the freezer?
Yeah.
I have one of those skinny ones. My head won't fit, I don't think.
Yeah, with your head.
No.
And that voice you hear is the voice you know, my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Good afternoon.
So how are you today?
Doing well. Can't complain. Nobody listens.
Getting ready to go away.
I am.
That'll be fun.
Well, I think it'll be nice to have a little cooler weather.
Yeah.
But except Wednesday, where I'm going, is supposed to be 66 and rainy. I don't want it that cool. And then 60. It's going to be in the 70s and low ones.
I like that. Well, I tell you, I was just looking on the internet this morning because the end of September, I'm going to Portugal. And they say the weather's like 67 to 70. Piece of cake for me. I love that. Because I don't like to be cold.
I like 75 to 80.
Okay.
Perfect.
My friend's in Long Island right now. It's 78 during the day.
Yeah.
Low 60s at night.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
I love Long Island.
I lived on Long Island.
Yes, you did. We both lived on Long Island.
Yeah.
Long Island.
I know.
Long Island. So I want to give a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Jen in Seminole, Crystal in St. Pete, and Gigi in New York City.
Welcome,
and I'm wondering
ladies.
If she's a Gigi like me, a great grandmother.
That could be.
So I don't know. But
welcome. Gigolo.
As I always say, there's plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for more listeners, whether you listen to us when we're on AM and FM or on YouTube or on Facebook or my website. We just want to help you out in any way we can with resources and information and a shoulder and a laugh. And just know, and I repeat this all the time, if you have a question about anything, first of all, you can call into the show at 727-441-3000. Or you can email me through my website, lindaburhans.com. And some of the things you email me about, I'll probably be able to answer you right away. But some of the things, I will have to go to all the associates and people, different people I work with, because they have solutions. And I'm very blessed to be surrounded by the professionals in the community that I'm in that want to work together, because that's the most important thing, because we are all aging. And with us today, we have Julie Borgen from VA Bay Pines.
Yes.
Love the VA. VA took very good care of my husband and my dad in New York City. So God bless the VA. But I need to talk about something first that's very heavy on my heart. So I found out this morning that one of my caregivers took her life by suicide last night. Now, she was in my support groups for a while. She hasn't been in a support group for a while, but we did do some chatting, and her husband had dementia, and it got to the point where he thought that she was the bad guys in Vietnam. And she was freaked out, and she was worried if she called the police that he'd be Baker acted, which is like, to me, is like the biggest punishment for someone with dementia, to just lock them up and they can't, whatever. But the thing I will say is she didn't reach out for help. She didn't accept help. She wasn't honest with her situation. So the conversation all the time was, when he gets this bad, I'll do this. When it gets too bad, I'll do this. Well, it got really bad because she didn't. I'm not saying that his disease wouldn't have progressed and that part wouldn't have got worse. But she would have been able to better handle it.
Or had more help.
Yeah. Well, her own daughter didn't even really know. Her daughter lives out of state. And when her daughter would call, the mom says all the time, everything's great. You know, when you... Well, some parents are different. But most parents, want to keep their independence, and they don't want to worry their kids. So when you call me up on Sunday to see how I'm doing, I'm not going to tell you that I fell down and there's a bruise on my leg. I'm not going to tell you that Dad didn't poo in 3 days. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to tell you everything is okay. So let's go from there right there. Okay, so my next suggestion, especially if you're a long-distance caregiver, first of all, come to visit, and come to visit when they don't know you're coming. Or if you can't deal with that, and that's, you feel that's a little too much for them, let them know when you're coming, but be very aware that when they know you're coming, they're going to put fresh food in their refrigerator, they're going to clean up a little bit, they're going to do some different stuff. And they can probably fake it for like 2 or 3 days, pretty much. Like, we're cool, we're good,
yeah,
we're good.
Yeah, a weekend usually.
Yeah. You need to stay like a week. Then you're really going to see what's going on. My other suggestion to you is to talk to their neighbors when you're there. Talk to their friends from church, or if they're in a Kiwanis or whatever it is, because they're going to tell you more than anybody else is going to tell you. I remember one of my caregivers went to visit her mom, and she took that suggestion and went and spoke to the neighbors, and the neighbors said, oh my goodness, we were so worried when the ambulance came last week and took her away. Mom never told them. Never told them. But more than that is help for the caregiver, help through support groups, help through respite care. Respite care doesn't have to cost money. There are different ways that are respite care. There are grants. There are people that want to help out. And what I say to the caregivers all the time, when someone reaches out to you, just accept some help. Because what happens is your neighbor comes over, or your sister, or whoever it is, and they say, is there anything I can do to help you? And this is what the caregiver says every time. No, I'm okay. No, I'm okay. And most of the time, that's the furthest from the truth. So I suggest to caregivers, because I know it's a little overwhelming, and when somebody starts saying to you, oh, what can I do to help you, blah, 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 you start thinking, I don't know, what are you going to do? Are you going to change my linens? Are you going to feed my mother? You know, like, I can't even, so.
It's another job you put on
your
shoulders.
Yeah, so now you gave me something else as a caregiver I got to think about. How can you help me? So I suggest to caregivers to take a little bit of time and sit down and write a list of some things that you can accept help with. You're not the only one that can mow the lawn. You're not the only one that can pick up groceries. Maybe you're the only one that can do certain things with your loved one that you're caring for. But you're not the only one that can sit and watch television with them for an hour, or play cards with them, or whatever it is. So sit down and make that little list, and then when someone comes over, just put out the list and say, pick one. And they're going to be so happy to do that. Because what has happened previously is you keep saying you're okay, you're okay, you're okay, and then people stop asking. Because now I don't want to get in your space, I don't want to make you feel more uncomfortable, so they just stop asking. And then the caregiver is at home at night crying that I have to do this all by myself. Because you said no to everybody that wanted to help you. I know it's not easy, I'm not trying to sound bossy.
God forbid Linny be bossy.
But this is serious. I'm trying to get a point across.
Okay.
You know what I mean. I mean, you've heard this story before. I'm going to repeat it for the people that haven't heard it and for the people that need to hear it again. After my mother passed away, I was in the supermarket, and I met a woman, and she said, how are you doing, Linda? And I said, I'm okay. And she said to me, I have to tell you that when you took care of your mother, you stole my joy. And I was like, what? And she said, I could see you swimming in quicksand. And every time I asked to help you, you said, no, I'm okay. She said, so not only did you not give me the opportunity to help you, you didn't give me the opportunity to meet your mom. Oh. So I'll never forget that. And I'm not directly in a caregiving situation, but in life, if I'm going through a tough time and somebody's going to ask me if they can help me out now, I'm going to give them something.
My list would be come over and sit.
Yeah.
But I did find out when my husband wasn't well that we would go out on the balcony with whoever visited, but I found out I had to leave because he wouldn't say anything.
When you were there?
Nope. He wanted to talk. He couldn't follow two people. So right. if it was one-on-one, he was thrilled. So my friends would come over and I'd leave.
Well, at least you get a little breath, even if it was just in the kitchen for a little
good.
While. Yeah, because...
Not in the kitchen, but somewhere.
But yeah, it's real important.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like I say, don't spoil that time for them. As much we think as we're the bomb caregiver and only I can do it and it's my responsibility, you know, I'm not talking about pooping and peeing and medication. I'm talking about being with your loved one. I'm talking about keeping your loved one social and keeping yourself social. I'm talking about getting some help for yourself. We've talked about this before. Finally, a caregiver goes and gets a little bit of respite care, and they come back home, and their loved one goes, damn, you're awfully nice, finally.
Yeah. And that hurts you feelings.
Yes, that hurts you feelings. But before you left that house and finally decided that you needed that respite care, so you were gritting your teeth.
Yeah, but you know what? You don't think you are.
No, I'm doing so good.
I thought, because things I wanted to say, I didn't. So I thought I was doing well, but I guess I wasn't.
Yeah. And it's an intense job, especially when you're dealing with someone with Alzheimer's or dementia. Because I hate to say it, if you get a diagnosis of cancer, first of all, there's a chance you'll get better.
Yeah.
Depending on what it is. There's a chance you'll get better. And that's what's hard with me in support groups. If someone has cancer, there's a chance I can tell them they're going to get better. If someone has Alzheimer's or dementia, I can't tell them that.
And really, if someone is ill with cancer or whatever, you can still talk to them and... You know, when someone has dementia, it's the same question over and over again. When is Jerry Springer coming on? You know, that type of thing. And soon.
Yeah. And it's relentless. But that's another thing, too. Especially if you recently got a diagnosis and you're a new caregiver, you need to get into a support group or on my YouTube channel or just listen to this stuff, because there's going to be tips that you're going to learn quickly that's going to change your life. That is going to make your caregiving experience easier. So, for instance, a caregiver came into a support group one time, and she said to me, my doctor says I need a support group. She wasn't very happy, and everybody was very kind to her. And she said, so what do you do here? And I said, we share resources and tips and a shoulder and a laugh. And she goes, give me a tip. I said, excuse me? She said, give me a tip. I said, all right, I'm going to give you this tip right now. If your husband has to go to the doctor's on Friday, don't tell him on Monday. Because he's going to ask you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, when are we going? Is it time? He's going to be agitated. He's going to be apprehensive. He's going to be nervous. You're going to be crazed that he even asked you again. And she said to me, oh my goodness, my husband was up at 3:30 this morning, all dressed, ready to go to the doctor's. And she hit her hand on the table and she said, I think I'm going to like this group. Well, that little tip can be such a big thing for someone who's taking care
of someone. Absolutely.
You know, the other thing I want to mention too is, I get this story all the time is, mom keeps asking me about dad. I told her, dad died 5 years ago. I say, what does mom do? She cries. And then the next day she asks me again. I said, and what do you tell her? Dad died 5 years ago. And what does she do? She cries. I said, is that working for you? You need to tell her that dad is at work. Dad is out in the garage. Dad's wherever. And he'll be home soon. Because first of all, sadly enough, mom's not going to remember from 1 minute to the next.
No, but she doesn't need to cry.
No, because when you tell her that dad died 5 years ago, to her, it could be the first time she ever heard that. And how
painful.
For her,
painful. It is the first time.
Yeah, and how painful is that? And you didn't tell me. You didn't tell me.
Yeah.
And you didn't let me be part of it. And you didn't... So when we learn these tools, it's better for our caregiving experience, because maybe our loved one is now not screaming at us and being upset with us because we handled the response in a different way.
Yeah,
we handled it.
Absolutely.
Now I don't want you to take that aside from if your loved one is in the point where they're delusional and when there's things going on with that, because that you can't change. My friends Maureen Willison and Brian LeBlanc from We Are Dementia Strong, Brian went into memory care this week. And no one could have ever thought that was going to happen or that was going to happen so quickly and everything. But it was to the point where he couldn't be handled anymore by Maureen. And she knew that. And that was a great decision. Because now he can be cared for at the community. And she can come back and just be Maureen. And not have to be the caregiver. And not have to be the one telling him what time to take his medicine. And hopefully just spend some good time together. So, please, and then one last thing. I always say one last thing. I don't know why I say it. It's my show. I can keep talking.
And you do.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I tell you, when my husband was dying, the last 2 weeks he was dying, he just wanted me to sit in the chair next to him and not talk. Oh, yes, my two best suits. Sitting still and not talking. I was like reading the Bible on the table. Dear God, please help me. And I had to watch things like, oh my goodness. Well, American Pickers wasn't too bad.
No.
And like the fixing up the cars wasn't too bad. But that other show where people like crash up into walls and hurt themselves, you know, like the world's stupid idiots or whatever it was. I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh my goodness. And he's like, what? But I will say, a couple days after my husband died, I got a box in the mail from Amazon. I opened it up, and inside was a new microphone. And it said, "Dear Linda, use your voice. Love, Tom." From the man who told me for 40-something years that I talked
to. He felt bad about it, Lynn, but he just didn't want to listen.
No, he didn't. Anymore. He couldn't.
He was tired.
You know, Tom.
Yeah, it kept me outside. I had to stay outside. He didn't want anyone.
He didn't really
else
want people seeing him in the end and visiting him in the end.
Just sat outside.
But see, now my husband didn't have dementia. My husband was a cancer deal, and his mind was still sharp as heck.
Yes.
Because I can remember he became very ill, and it came to the point we were in hospice, and now we got to get a commode. He can't go to the bathroom anymore. And who wants a commode? No one wants a commode. So they come there and they set it up in the living room, and he looks at me and I look at him, and it's just sad. He's looking at it and looking at it and looking at it. Like a half hour later, he says to his brother, "I want you to put a plastic bag in there and fill it up with 3 inches of kitty litter." Brilliant. Because then if he had to go to the bathroom, it wasn't sloppy, it wasn't smelly, it wasn't messy. I just had a bag that way. I'm like, brilliant. So that's a good tip. That's a tip right now.
That's a good tip.
Which can help a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely. It was excellent. No, Tommy was very bright.
Yeah, very, very bright. So, Julie, let's talk about the VA a little bit.
Sure.
So we're going to talk a little bit, and we're going to have some commercials, and then we're going to talk a whole bunch.
Okay.
So first of all, as I said earlier, I love the VA. Years ago, they used to hear a lot of complaints about VAs. Oh, don't go to the VA. You're not going to get good coverage there. I've never had that experience. The VA right here in Bay Pines, I think, is one of the largest ones.
It is large.
Around. And my dad used to go to the VA in Manhattan, in Greenwich Village. Mm-hmm. Fabulous. They helped my stepmother so much, but she accepted help with equipment, with this, with that. So tell us a little bit about it.
Okay. Well, the VA is a national healthcare system for individuals that served in the military. So that's what a veteran is, someone who served in any of the military branches. Some people don't know that. Some people have served in the military and never thought of themselves as a veteran because they didn't serve in a combat zone.
Oh, right.
And so we always ask, we always encourage our community partners from the VA to ask the question, did you ever serve in the military? And then there's a whole range of healthcare services that are available, and we have specific programs for different ages of veterans, different healthcare needs. We have programs for the family members that are active in their care. Yeah. And so that's one of the things we'll be talking about today.
Well, and I think the VA gives some of the very best care. I mean, when it came to with my husband, at one point, he needed to do immunotherapy, and they couldn't do it at the VA, but they sent us to Moffitt. Where else? Who else doesn't want to be there? I mean, another fabulous place. So I want people to know about that the VA doesn't do everything there. Sometimes they refer you to outsources for different things, but they're there to cover the whole gamut. To have with whatever kind of things you need, and you just need to know about and take advantage of it. And if you're not sure, just ask the question.
Yeah, and I will say the greatest place to start with questions is the primary care team. every veteran who gets enrolled in healthcare gets assigned to a primary care team. And that doctor, the nurses, and the social worker on that team and the other affiliated health professions are there to answer the questions.
Well, and they get a person to talk to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I see so many people that are not vets, that have a different medical deal, whatever their thing is. They can't get information, they don't get calls returned, and they don't feel like they have a team, like they can have a person to call. You know, they get one person on the phone and you never talk to that person again. So I think that's such a very important thing. And so important because our veterans save our country. You know, I'm so proud to live in the United States of America. I say that all the time. And I go visit a lot of the places. This is where I want to be. I mean, Lynn was a Canadian. She became an American just because it's so great. But I want to be proud of that. But I also want to stay on this radio show. So it's time to hear from our wonderful sponsors. So don't go away because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. See you in a couple minutes.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ears. And we're back.
And we're back. So, Julie, let's talk a little bit more about the VA, and I want to talk about some of your caregiver programs.
Okay.
And you have a big conference coming up. And
we do.
So let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm. So we have what's called a Caregiver Summit coming up in September, and that is for our professionals in the community, the other agencies that work with the VA to provide overall care and support to the veterans and caregivers. So we provide an annual summit to these individuals to attend and participate and hear about what VA resources are available.
So explain to me what the summit actually entails.
So every year there's a theme, and we present to the people in the community, the providers, like it could be from Alzheimer's Association, could be medical practices, anybody in the professional field that is providing health care or support to family members attend, and they hear about resources, and then there's usually breakout sessions where people meet together and talk about what they have available, what they can offer. And so this one that's coming up in September is focused on the concept of whole health, which is the concept of that you as the individual decide what you want going on in your life, what are your health needs, might be spiritual needs, it might be physical needs that you need to exercise more, it might be that you have to do better with your nutrition, what are you eating this week or this day. And so the concept of whole health is it's very focused on the individual, where they meet with a health coach.
That's nice.
And they talk about what they're looking for in their life, what might be absent, what they have concerns about, and then coming up with a plan of how to address it. So the summit is to teach the other professionals in the community what how the VA does that, both for veterans, because there's a whole health program for veterans, and then we do well-being and health coaching for caregivers.
And the community partners need to know about it. The social workers need to know about it. Everybody needs to know about it, because every day things are changing, and every day there's more resources available, and we have to, as the people that are putting out resources, we have to help our community partners and the people that are helping our caregivers and our clients to know what is available to them.
Yeah, that's really important.
Yeah, it's really important. So, in previous summits, what has been the response? What do people say after they go to it?
Well, they come away learning more. They often don't know what's available at the VA and the healthcare system, so they come out of the summits learning much more about what's available. It also opens dialogue. Sometimes community partners meet, like they cross paths and they're like, oh, I didn't know you existed.
Oh, exactly.
Like what you do in this radio show and your blog, just connecting people for the different resources that are available is very, very important.
Yeah, sometimes it's just the right connection. Sometimes if I know I'm having a certain guest on the show, I invite another guest because I know those two need to be friends. You know?
Yes, really, really important.
It's really important. And like I say, I'm blessed to be in this area and the resources that are available, because I go to other states and speak, and people are like, oh, you're stepping on my toes. Don't talk to that one. I don't talk to this one. It's not here. Here we're all sharing and we're working together, and if we don't have an answer, we're finding someone that does have an answer. Or sometimes we're creating something new to answer that need.
Yes.
Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as you make those connections, when someone comes forward with a question, like you said at the beginning of the show, email me your questions, then you know who to go to and who to connect the person that's asking the question.
And do you have support groups at the VA?
We do. We have support groups for caregivers. It's generally speaking, it's health-related topics.
Okay.
So there's a group for dementia care. There's a group for caregivers taking care of a veteran living with Parkinson's.
Mm, that's
general
great.
Caregiver, like for all different kind of health focus, and then one for caregivers that are supporting a veteran living with mental health condition.
Well, if you'll give me that information, I'll put that on my website, because I do support groups virtual and live, and I know other people do. And I'm not the only girl on the block, so if you go to my website, lindaberhans.com, under events, you'll see my support groups and others, and feel free to list those, because I like, too, that they're specific.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like especially like the group that's specific for Parkinson's. So, for instance, in my support group, sometimes I have people there 2 months, sometimes 5 years
yes.
or more.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happened recently, maybe in the past year, a lot of my caregivers, their loved one has passed. But they still come back to the group, but they're not caregivers anymore. But they still come back to the group because they want to help. And they're like, well, what am I now? So I've started a mentor program. So if you were in the group and your husband died from Parkinson's, and a new person just joins the group and their husband just got diagnosed, woohoo! They can hook up with each other in between support groups and everything. And it also gives that caregiver a new sense of purpose. Because you've been a caregiver, even if your loved one is in a community, you're still a caregiver 24/7.
Yes, you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens when that individual isn't around anymore? Your whole life changes.
Well, plus many of the caregivers have not taken care of themselves because mm-hmm. they were taking care of their loved one. And then all of a sudden they look in the mirror and they're like, who is that? What do I do? Where do I? You know how that feeling was.
I know. I looked very old.
Well, it's...
I did. I hadn't looked at myself in, 7 years?
Well, you have
really
no time.
Looked at myself and like, oh my goodness, that's an old lady.
Well, you were 7 years older too, so it's not just that. So what is one of the best resources for caregivers with the VA?
So I would start with there's actually a national call center called the Caregiver Support Line. It's a toll-free number.
And that number
is, I have to read it, 1-855-260-3274. It's available 6 days of the week, including Saturdays, and five weeknights.
Well, that's
it's available. And so if a caregiver or a loved one of a veteran calls, they'll be speaking with a social worker that's going to give them support, figuring out what their needs are. Like in the immediate. They can also, if needed, they can do a referral back to the VA healthcare system where the veteran gets the care for follow-up.
And if you'll give me that information before you leave the show, I'll put that in the description of the show for anyone that didn't write it down or wants to come back to it or tell someone else about it, because I think that's wonderful. And once again, it is talking to a person. Just yes. Having somebody hear you out and see where you are and what they can do, because it's just tough.
And then if you are adept and you like looking at things on the internet, there's actually a caregiver website at caregiver.va.gov that has tons of information, not only about the particular two caregiver programs we have at all the VA healthcare facilities across the nation, but also just helpful tip sheets that are on there. There's some tips for dealing with dementia symptoms, behavioral changes. There's tip sheets for how to manage medications, how to track it, lots of different tip sheets.
Yeah, and that's really important, because people all of a sudden, they either become a caregiver overnight because of an accident, a fall, you know, or something like that, or they become that caregiver so gradually they don't even realize it, and things start getting worse, and things start getting heavier, and they need to have to get out of that and know that there are people there that want to help them and that there are resources available, because sometimes it's so difficult to get through the resources and do something that people give up. But I have found with the VA, their response is very good. You're not waiting, you know, for someone to call you back. You're not getting a lot of machines where you have to press buttons and go to here and go to there. I wish that other places would model that, because I think that's so very, very important. Now, are the support groups online?
They're a mix of virtual and in-person. And to be in the support group, you have to be in one of the caregiver programs connected with the VA, whichever medical facility the veteran is at. So we have the program of general caregiver support services. That is open to anyone taking care of a veteran enrolled in VA health care, where they need some level of care.
It doesn't have to be their spouse. It just has to be not. Someone caring for
mm-hmm.
them.
Yep. We get close friends of veterans. Sometimes it could be a neighbor that's keeping an eye on the veteran, helping out as they go, you know, through their journey of health situations. And so they enroll. It's just a simple referral. They can even refer themselves, either through calling the caregiver support line or even calling the local facility and getting connected with the programs that way. We do have programs for peer mentoring for caregivers, both to be the mentee, and if you're really interested and you really like helping other caregivers, they can get trained to be a mentor.
That's good for my caregivers.
Mm-hmm. The caregiver support line operates monthly telephone support groups. They usually have an education topic, some type of topic that they focus on, similar to your radio show. And they do that on a monthly basis, and so the caregivers can enroll and sign up to get the link to call in and hear what's being presented.
Is the VA able to help caregivers at all with respite care?
Yes. So veterans are eligible for so many hours of like in-home services.
Before we go further, first I'm going to explain what respite care is for people that haven't, because I didn't find out what it was until I was in my bereavement group. So respite care is just you taking a break. It's someone caring for your loved one, either in your home or at a community, wherever, where you can get a break and have some respite. So go ahead.
Yep, that's really important, because as we know, caregiving is typically 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
You don't get a break.
Yeah, even if you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm. You are not really fully sleeping.
No.
You have your ears open and ready to respond and do whatever has to get done. Respite is available. It's one of the benefits available to veterans. We also,
Now, where would the respite be? In their home or in a community?
It could be both. There is respite that's available to be provided in the home, and then the veteran might go to an adult day health center.
Okay.
Where they go to a day program many days a week, maybe just one day a week. And then there's also at times in like where they go into a residence, a community.
Well, I think it's very important for the caregivers to know this, because there comes that time that you know, it's your granddaughter's wedding, and you really want to go to that wedding. So let's not even talk about you just taking a break from the crazies. Let's talk about you really want to do something, and you want to go to your granddaughter's wedding, and there's no one to care for your loved one. That's a perfect opportunity to use that respite care. And just plan ahead of time. Find out, and plus there are caregivers that need to have surgery themselves.
That's what I was thinking.
Or have some kind of medical procedure, and they don't have it done because they don't feel they have anyone to take care of their loved one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is very much a frequent occurrence, especially as people get older.
Yeah.
Things happen not only to the veteran, but to that loved one, the caregiver.
And does the veteran or the loved one, whoever you're caring for, want to see you suffering? Want to see you as a caregiver suffering? Mm-hmm. Do they want to see their wife or their daughter or whoever it is whittling away because they need help? They need help. So think about that. And you may not be a veteran, but you may have a neighbor who's a veteran. You know who the veterans are. They got their flags outside. A lot of them got their hats on. It's, you know, you can really tell. You know veteran guys. I love it when I went on, what's the flight to D.C.?
Honor flight.
And you just know they're veterans when you're in the airport. Before they even get up to you, you know they're veterans. That's another. I love Honor Flight. That was
phenomenal.
Honor Flight, thank God, opened back again after COVID because that was terrible for a while. And Honor Flight is, they'll take a veteran to Washington, D.C. to honor the veteran for a day. So you'll have a whole group of veterans go together. Everyone has a one-on-one partner. And you'll go to see the memorials. It's just so fabulous. Mm-hmm. And I had this woman, and she was, I said, what made you decide to join the military? And she said, oh, my girlfriend and I walked by, and there was really cute boys there. She said, my husband wasn't too happy. My dad wasn't too happy. And then I said to her, so what did you do in the military? She was in the Marines. And I said, so what did you do? And she went like this and zipped up her lip. And she said, I can't tell you. I might have to kill you. I was like, oh, okay. But she was a character. I remember we were walking around. We stopped at the first place we stopped was just a little place to go to. The second place, you're going to have to do some walking. And they supply a wheelchair for every single person to have it. And she didn't want to go in the wheelchair. I go, here's the deal. Either you're in the chair and I'm pushing you, or I'm in the chair and you're pushing me. And she was like, okay, fine. But it was just fabulous, and seeing students visiting those memorials and coming up to the veterans and telling the veterans, thank you for your service. You know, and especially when they saw a woman veteran at that age.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Well, and then they have the welcome home when they come into the airport home, and everybody's has the signs.
Well, on the way home on the plane, they also give them an envelope with letters that have been written, like mail call.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are letters written from students and different people and everything. And when my lady got that letter, opened that up, she goes, don't do anything nice to me today. Like, this is too because it's a long day.
Wow.
You know, I mean, you get there, it's dark.
That's why you have to be under 70 to go with them.
I know.
You're done
I
almost.
I can't go anymore.
I've been done a few years.
But, yeah, that's an absolutely fabulous thing. All right, what's some other information you want to give to our caregivers that you think could be helpful?
Well, the second program is called the Comprehensive Family Caregiver Program, and it's for veterans that are rated at least 70% service-connected and have a loved one taking care of them in the home.
What does that mean, 70%?
Yeah. So service connection is where the veteran has incurred an injury or an illness because of their time in the service. So
after
one of the things,
service.
Yes, after they come out, they go through medical evaluations, and they're rated a certain percentage for how much the injury or the illness has impacted their life.
Oh.
So one of the frequent ones you hear is maybe Agent Orange exposure.
That's the first thing I thought of.
And so veterans go through medical assessments to assess how much the exposure to Agent Orange has had an impact on their life. And they get a rating percentage, and then based on that, it also opens up some opportunities for different resources that are available to those in the veterans that have that service-connected rating. So in the Comprehensive Family Caregiver Program, it is for the caregivers. Typically, it's often a spouse or child, like an adult child that's taking care of someone. And they actually get benefits. So they get a monthly amount called a stipend that is paid to them for that hands-on care
to
they're
the
providing.
Caregiver.
Mm-hmm. Yes, to the caregiver. And then they also get ongoing support from an assigned social worker, and then they can participate if there's support groups going on, different events that happen.
I didn't have a clue about that. That's fabulous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that started, there was an expansion of the program 2 years ago under the Mission Act legislation that expanded it, the service error to be open to veterans, no matter when they served, as long as they had the 70% service connection. And it has the program across the country has really expanded for in the last 2 years.
Yeah, and that's why we all have to stay connected, all us guys, yes. Because new programs come through, new grants come through, new things come through that you don't even know are available.
Well, yeah, and sometimes it starts from Congress passing legislation, because veterans and their loved ones are very much are very strong advocates out there to our congressional representatives,
yeah.
And so, and they get listened to, and
yeah, as
this
they
is
should.
Some of the outcome, and this is one of those benefits that came forward 2 years ago.
But there's also some benefits to the spouse when your loved one passes. Not a lot.
Right.
Tell me about those.
The different survivor benefits are available. Depends, again, like on the service connection of the veteran and how much they were rated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know off the top of my head. Most veterans are eligible for a certain amount or the family for like allotment for like covering some of the cost of the headstone, burial
right.
in the national cemeteries.
Yeah, but I also hear they'll pay something like $1,200 a month towards home health if it's needed for the spouse in the future.
That I wouldn't be able to answer. I don't know about
okay,
that.
Okay, we got to find out about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that I think that's a fabulous benefit. Because especially if you've been married to a veteran your whole life, you took care of them, you were in that war with them. You've gone through a lot with them, so I'd like to see whatever advantages we can get for the caregiver also.
So a suggestion for another guest for a future show is to have someone from Veterans Benefits come on
you can
and talk with you. Sure.
Yeah, because the people don't even know what's available to them.
No.
And there is, and like I say, just with some of the things you just told me now that I didn't know before, things change, programs change, new legislation mm-hmm. goes through, which is so very important. What's the most important thing you think our caregivers need to hear?
Don't be alone. If caregiving is very stressful. It's probably the most stressful occupation that's out there. And oftentimes, just because of being connected to our loved one, we feel like it's our absolute like 100% duty. We have to give 10,000%. And nobody should ever feel alone in that. Absolutely reach out. Don't like stay silent like you were when you opened the show. You had a very sad story to share. And it's really, really important for those caregivers to know that they are not alone. So even if it means you're just going to call the National Call Center for the Caregiver Support Line and just have someone listen to you for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, and that's your break out of the day, to have someone really
yeah.
ears for you. And
yeah.
not you caregiving
it's not
for those
judge
10
you.
Minutes.
It's not gonna,
nope.
yeah.
And you don't feel like
mm-hmm.
you're burdening your friends. We
yes.
just burden you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true. It's easier to talk to someone you don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, because sometimes some of the stuff you might need to talk about has to do with the people that you love.
Exactly.
You know, you just need somebody to vent to. You just need
yeah.
something to get out there. And the thing is, talk to them. You know, I told that story about the ladies in my mailroom. Everybody's got somebody with dementia on their block. I promise you. Everyone has a neighbor somewhere that has dementia. Start paying attention to this. Start helping your neighbor. If you see your neighbor, if their loved one has dementia, if you know about it and everything, take their garbage cans in for them so they don't have to take their garbage cans in. Because they're not going to ask you. But when they see you, just do it. I can't tell you. Caregiver said, oh, my neighbor just takes my garbage out and brings the cans back in for me every week. And I can't tell you how much that means to me, Linda.
Yeah.
You know, or just go and get their mail from their mailbox. Or when you go to the supermarket, BOGO. Buy one, get one free. Just go and give it to them, especially with stuff like toilet paper or paper towels.
Or chocolates.
Chocolate.
Chocolates are good.
Or maybe a little Pinot Grigio. Whatever. But really, just...
They never BOGO that, do they?
No, they don't.
They don't BOGO wine.
They yes,
don't.
They do at Publix.
Do
they BOGO it?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's my...
Is that one of your tips for today?
Yes.
Yes.
It's all good.
But I'm not giving it away the other one.
All right. Right now we're going to hear from our wonderful sponsors. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week, so check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementia. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Footbar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Footbar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Footbar Walker.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Like I always say, love that Footbar Walker.
Yeah.
And we're coming up in a couple of weeks to Fall Prevention Week, and there's going to be a lot of events going on that I'll let you all know about it, and a lot of the different mayors of different towns are creating a proclamation for fall prevention. There's going to be a lot of good conferences and just workshops and things going on, so I'll let you know about that. Also, Attorney Sean Scott will be doing two Medicaid Now and in the Future seminars Friday, September 1st at the Largo Library at 2 o'clock and Tuesday, September 5th at 2 o'clock at the Palm Harbor Library. You can RSVP at 727-539-0181. Sometimes it feels a little intimidating to talk to an attorney, but you can just go there and talk to Sean free of charge. Also, he gives an initial consultation to everybody free of charge, and he has a great book on Medicaid, and he's been doing it for, I think, 33 years now, and he's never not had an approval. And that's really a big thing when you're applying for those things. All right, and then we have the Virtual Caregiver Summit, Friday, September 8th at 1 p.m. And the phone number for that is 727-398-6661, extension 17239. All this information will be in the show. And then the Virtual Caregiver Summit, September 9th from 1 to 3. I assume it's the same RSVP.
Yeah, I think maybe that second page is the wrong date.
Okay.
It's only on September 8th.
Okay. Where can people find resources in our area? What's the phone numbers?
Well, we have the Bay Pines Healthcare System, the Caregiver Support Program. Is that same number you just read out? I'll repeat it. It's 727-398-6661. The extension is 17239. And for those that go to the Tampa VA Healthcare System, their Caregiver Support Program is 813-972-2000, extension 5140.
Julie, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to get this word out.
Yeah, we'll put all the information in the show so people have it as they go on. Please accept help. Reach out for help.
That's your tip.
Yes, know that there are people there that want to help you. And if you don't know who can help you, contact me and I will find out who can help you. So tune in next week for another great show. Lynn won't be here, but I will be here. With attorney Sean Scott and a bunch of people from Fall Prevention. So that'll be absolutely wonderful. Remember, God loves you all the time and have a delicious day.